If you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 2 through 6. John chapter 15, verses 2 through 6. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned.
Good evening. Good to see you all. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our look at these agricultural figures in the Bible with our overall theme that God's word is seed. And we're continuing our study in John 15. We're going to have a quicker study tonight. As I mentioned this morning, after the amen is said this evening, we're going to have a video of about 30 minutes in length before the ice cream social to kind of introduce us to that upcoming seminar, and I'll talk about that a little bit more right after the amen is said. But what I want to focus on for just a few minutes this evening, is what John 15 tells us about the possibility of apostasy. There are several people in the religious world that believe that once you are saved, you are always saved. And the Bible clearly, in several instances, says that that's not true. Now, I don't like to make people think that somehow they can't be sure about their salvation. That's certainly not why I'm teaching this. But the Bible does clearly point out that it is possible, once somebody has become a Christian and gone into grace, into Christ, that they can so turn their back on God in such a way that they can be cut off from eternal life. They can fall from grace. They can fall away from God, and that is the sense apostasy. And this is found even in this passage we've been studying for the last few weeks. So in verse 2, Jesus says to his disciples that if you do not bear fruit in him, then he takes you away. That is, God takes you away. The vine dresser takes you away. And this word for takes away is arrow. It's different from the word that you find that he talks about pruning. That's a different word. That's the idea of making something clean. That's kathero. This is arrow to take away. That means to remove. So it's possible that somebody can be joined to the vine, and yet because they do not bear fruit in Christ, that they can be cut from the vine. And then we find in verse 6 what happens to such a branch that once was connected to the vine, but then is cut. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, he's withered, men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So it's pretty clear from this agricultural figure that Jesus is saying to his disciples that it is possible for somebody to fall away when once they had been connected to Jesus and his life-giving power, the vine. And so I want us to consider what the consequences are, according to verse 6, of somebody failing to abide in Christ. You don't abide in Christ, notice you're cast out. And there are different tenses here to the Greek words. The aorist tense is a tense that kind of is the idea of a snapshot. Sometimes people call it point action. It's not always that. Usually it's just used as a simple past tense, that it happened. And so these first two verbs here in verse 6 are kind of that these happened, a snapshot, so to speak. So he's cast out and he's withered. And so both of those indicate the type of relationship that they have with God, that there's a point in time when this inner separation manifests itself outwardly, and this person is separated from those people that are fruitful. So they're cast out, they're withered, their vitality is no longer there. You know, if you cut a branch from a grapevine, that branch may still produce some leaves because it still has some vitality resident in it. But it will never produce fruit because it is not attached to the vine. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is that you have to be attached to the vine in order to bear fruit. And so those two are in the aorist tense. And then the rest of what happens, number 3, 4, and 5 here, is men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I don't want to make too much of the different tenses in the Greek. It's very easy to do that. But it is interesting to me that these last three verbs in verse 6 are present tense. That's continual action. And so the first two are in aorist, and the last three are in present. And so it seems like the first two here are talking about a negative state of a lack of life of somebody that failed, that happened once, snapshot, to abide in Christ. And these last three are talking about an ongoing, continual, final fate of those who fail to abide in Christ, and that is burning. And so it is possible for somebody to fall from grace. Now, what should we get from this lesson then? Well, first of all, what we should get from this lesson is this, that we should exhort one another daily while it is called the day. As Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, it's possible for us to be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. And so we need to encourage one another today to live faithful lives because it is possible to fall away. Secondly, we need to make sure that we recognize that there's a point at which somebody does fall from grace. Galatians 5, verse 4 says, Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever you have who want to be justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. It is possible to fall from grace. And in that letter to the Galatians, Paul goes on to say in chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if any man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one, notice this, in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You ought to do it with control and consider yourself and do it in a meek way. The idea of restoring there comes from this word that means to maybe mend a net or to reset a bone. And if you have a doctor that's resetting a bone, you certainly want him to use some control in that, right? You want him to show some meekness. And that's the way that we ought to behave towards people that have fallen away from the faith or that go in to sin, that do something that severs them from Christ. In Romans chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 22 of the Jews and the Gentiles and their relationships with one another that the Jews were cut off that did not believe in Christ. Those Jews were cut off. And Paul says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. Severity on those that fell, but goodness towards you if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you shall be cut off. And they also, if they don't stay in unbelief, that is, if they come to believe in Jesus, notice this, God is able to graft them in again. They shall be grafted in, and God is able to graft them in again. So it is possible for somebody that has been severed from the vine, if they will repent and come back, to be grafted back in to God's life-giving power. And so that's what we see in 1 Corinthians 5, when a man had his father's wife. Paul told them in verse 2 that instead of being puffed up and being proud, you should have mourned over this sin that was there, and you should have taken this man away from among you. He's not joined to the vine, and he needs to know about that. And so he instructs them in verse 5 to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Why? So that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, even if they never do repent, at least the purity of the church is maintained. But the overall point of it is to try to appeal to somebody to show them how serious it is what they've done. You see, as the Lord's church, we're not just a social club that we act like everything's fine when somebody's living in sin. We've got to make sure that they wake up and come to grips to spiritual reality. And if talking to them won't work, then the actions have to follow, and that's what he commands here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And evidently this did work, because in 2 Corinthians, when he writes the later letter, he says that this punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient to such a man, so that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive him, lest he be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So he came back, and they were to confirm their love towards him, verse 8, because he repented. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 tells us this. This is a very clear command from God. We command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. Now, there are, surprisingly and sadly, not many congregations that will obey this command of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But I want you to know that it says, we command you, brethren. You see, this is not just the responsibility of elders. This is a responsibility of everybody that is a member of the Lord's church. And so then he goes on to say this, though. Verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Why? Well, notice this, verse 15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother, even when somebody is withdrawn from, to show that they are severed from the vine. Our job's not done. We still admonish them if we ever come in contact with them as a brother, a wayward brother, a brother that has gone back into sin and away from Christ. And it's interesting that Paul wrote this after he had already told them an initial admonition to warn those that were disorderly. If you go back to chapter 5 of the first epistle that he wrote to the Thessalonians, he says in verse 12, we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you in the Lord and are over you and admonish you. This group of people, the elders, labor among you, they're over you, they admonish you, they warn you. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And so we ought to be thankful for elders that will do their job along this line. And then verse 14 says this, now we exhort your brethren, warn them that are unruly. So apparently Paul had said that in 1 Thessalonians and tried to warn them, but the words wouldn't work with these people. Just verbal warnings finally had to be taken to the point of withdrawing fellowship. Why do we do all this? So hopefully this person will be grafted back in. Are you connected to the vine? Have you been baptized into Christ? If you put them on in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, that's what you need to do in order to be a child of God. But after that, you must live a faithful life, like Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us. You must abide in Christ. Jesus said in John 8, verses 31 and 32, if you abide in my words, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as we've examined tonight, if somebody stops abiding in the words of Christ, they can be cut off, and their soul in jeopardy in such a way, we should try to make that apparent to them so that they hopefully will come back and be grafted back in and have eternal life in the vine, Jesus Christ. And so if you need to be baptized or if you need to come back, whatever your need might be, we pray that you'll come while together we stand, while we sing.
Just as I am. God, I come.